Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Feel a weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Anguilla.
Ooh, that would be a little weird.
I've been to Anguilla a couple times.
I have as well.
Really? Why were you in Anguilla? My answer is probably a little simpler.
Well, I just passed through it before.
No, I've made a couple stops there.
I don't know if I've ever done anything there. I don't know, you know, what there is to do in Anguilla.
There. You can get your ass beat in football. I'll tell you that.
Yes.
You can get that. I did it twice.
Do they still exist?
I don't know if
it's South Delta or something.
They might have. Anguilla High School, it says temporarily closed. I'm going to assume it doesn't exist anymore.
It's probably closed.
Let's see.
I think it's South. I'm pretty sure it's South Delta.
Did they merge them in Rolling Fork?
Yeah, I don't think there's a Rolling Fork anymore.
Yeah, I think you're correct. So, well. I beat Anguilla as a senior, and it was like this huge deal. It was the first time we had beaten them in like 8 years, or I guess like 6 years or something. So
that is in, like Sharkey
Issaquena.
Yes. So there was a basketball team, Sharkey Issaquena Academy, I think is what it was.
No, you're right.
And when I was in high school, mm-hmm. our basketball team was like number two in the state. Mm-hmm. When I was a sophomore, we had a loaded team that year. We lost like three games, and we were really good. And one of the teams that we were following all year was Sharkey Issaquena. They had like a Dandy Dozen or something guy on their team. Mm-hmm. They were really freaking good. I don't know what happened to that team, or I don't know if that school is still going or what, but
I think one Sharkey thing Issaquena I remember. Academy still exists. Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, that's the one thing I remember about Sharkey Issaquena.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, that's a great trip down memory lane, as I remember two of the more painful losses in my high school career. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Remember, when you buy Strange Brew Coffee, you support the Bulldog Initiative, the same way you do when you buy from our friends at Pip Printing and Signs. If you're a business owner and you're a Mississippi State fan, this is a no-lose deal for you. You already spend money on printing, so we're not asking you to spend any more money. We're just telling you, hey, give your business to Pip Printing and Signs. Tell them that you heard about them on Thunder and Lightning. And 10% of whatever you do with them goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. So you can support Mississippi State, you can support the Bulldog Initiative, and you don't have to spend an extra dime more than what you're doing today to do so. If that's not a win-win for you guys, I don't know what is. So give Camden Baker a call at 601-499-5216 and tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning. You'll support the Bulldog Initiative, and you'll get a great printing service to help you maximize your advertising dollars. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, and it is on sale, guys. Great sale going on at College Corner. Check it out. It's available in both locations, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or it's available online, collegecornerstore.com. The real thing to get right now, I know it's starting to warm up, but you know, you buy Easter candy the day after Easter because it's on sale. Kind of the same thing here. All their pullovers are 50% off right now. So there are some pullovers that are $80, $90, $100 normally. You can get them for $40 or $50 right now. That's a great deal. They've got all the logos that you're looking for. They've got it at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to grab the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. You know, this weekend, I know Mississippi State fans probably not headed to Starkville. Nothing really going on. You got a great softball matchup this weekend, though. You do have a almost a top 10 matchup between those two teams, but Mississippi State 11th, Tennessee 5th. But next weekend with Super Bulldog weekend, Sunday brunch is going to be a hot ticket. Get the get in line at the best place. That's at Restaurant Tyler. You might even see local celebrity Robbie Falk there. It's very possible.
You have a very high percentage chance.
The same percentage chance of rain most days during the summer is the same percentage chance you will see Robbie Falk on a Sunday at Restaurant Tyler.
Maybe even higher, because sometimes rain's hard to come by in the summer.
We need to have like a Robbie forecast on those Sundays, like partly Robbie, mostly Robbie, or 100% chance of Robbie.
That's going to be my emotional state. Partly depressed.
Yeah.
Ready to jump out of the press box.
We'll
happy.
We'll see what tomorrow brings. You never know.
10% chance of being happy.
That seems high. Wherever you are in this state, when you come to Starkville, make sure you got a trip to Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout central Mississippi. That means there's one near you if you live in the area. If you live in central Mississippi, somewhere in between Vicksburg and Meridian, there are Priority One Bank locations dotted all over the map. And that means that you aren't too far away from a bank that gives you everything that you get from those big corporate banks, none of what you don't want from those banks. I like to do business with the people I know. You know, we're talking about your finances here. This isn't, you know, you're not ordering a pizza. This is your money. And you want to deal with people that you can know and trust, then you want to talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. Go to PriorityOneBank.com, find out more information about all the services that they offer to find the location nearest you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. This is what we're going to do this week. We've got two more weeks of spring practice. We've got four more position groups to do. We're going to do two a week, so we're going to start here today with the offensive line. And, Robbie, this is a group, more new faces than just about anybody, right? Legitimately could have four new starters, and based on some of the stuff you're seeing about visitors potentially visiting Mississippi State during the spring, could be five new starters. I mean, it's very possible that Mississippi State will not start the season with a single offensive lineman that played here a season ago. I think the jewels of that group are the tackle, McKylan Pounders, the transfer from Memphis. We all know the recruiting story with him. And the center, Ethan Miner, coming in from North Texas. He was a guy that had a lot of offers, a lot of action in the portal, was probably the top available center, and State was able to get him in, doing large part to their connections on the coaching staff with John Cooper coaching that kid while he was at North Texas. They've totally reshaped this offensive line. The good news is this is still the group that they had here in Starkville. Those guys, I don't know, you know, outside of the wide splits, it feels like this is an offense that's going to be kind of similar to what they would have been doing in the air raid, right? They would have been passing a lot of downs. They will run the football more, but they're going to be doing it out of passing formations where they spread the field. So I feel like they have a chance for that to click kind of quickly. We vastly underestimated the challenge last year with the offensive line of going from the air raid to what Kevin Barbet was whatever he was attempting to do. It didn't work, and the offensive line was a big weakness for Mississippi State. With all these new faces, it's kind of tough to say right off the bat that they're going to be a strength, but it feels like the potential pieces are in place for there to be a turnaround here.
Yeah, I like the group. I'm a little shocked that McKylan Pounders isn't like the first team guy at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know if that's still the case. We only saw one practice, and I think Lebby even mentioned the fact that it's so fluid. Like one guy's starting one day, another guy's starting the next. So I don't know if they're trying some things out, if they're just kind of moving some guys around or what. But when I was at practice and the small amount of practice we got to see, the guy working first team reps at left tackle was Albert Reese, which was a little interesting to me. He's a guy that I've kind of attributed to the right side of the line, right tackle, maybe even guard, but he was working at left tackle. And so I don't know what that's going to look like. I would love to see more of this team in spring practice to kind of see where things are and really kind of get a grasp. I feel certain that we're going to see Ethan Miner at center.
Mm-hmm.
I would be shocked if he's not your starting center.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really good about Jacoby Jackson at left guard.
Okay.
And from there, I think it's wide open. I think there's a lot of positions that are there enough for grabs. And I think that's going to be the one of the big position battles between now and the start of fall camp, training camp, sorry, is those positions on the offensive line. I think they have a lot of interesting pieces to compete at those positions. I think this is a good problem to have. You have bodies, you have guys that either transferred in or have been kind of fighting and waiting their turn. You have some experience. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out of that.
When you look at the guys that are left over from the previous regime, you mentioned Reese. I think that Leon Bell is a guy to keep an eye on. I would think that Cannon Boone could be maybe your backup center. He can play those interior positions. But beyond that, I don't really have a good feel for any of these guys. They haven't played very much. You know, State was very high on some of their offensive line signings a season ago. Guys like Amari Smith, guys like Zay Alexander, a really big kid there. You know, bringing in Jimothy Lewis, this redshirt freshman class, I was talking to some people that were like, look, not this year with Jimothy Lewis, but soon, he is a guy that has everything it takes to be a big-time offensive lineman.
Yeah, you can kind of see it with him.
So you've got some good young guys who I think they need some reps. If there's one complaint I have about Leach and then certainly with Arnett, it's that they just – I don't feel like they rotated and got their guys into games that they could have. I mean, there were so many games under Leach where you knew that State was going to win, and yet they would not play the younger guys.
And we complained about that on defense a lot.
Fine, but it was true on offense as well. I mean, how many games did Rodgers go deep into the game where you probably could have gotten some back, you know, guys like Sawyer Robertson when he was still here, or Braden Locke, some snaps. And these offensive linemen is no different. Now, last year, obviously, a little different because you weren't winning games and such, but it's just disappointing the amount of young guys who have not really had a chance to play here at Mississippi State. So, Jaden Hobbs.
And that's why you're having these conversations about the defense and the concerns that you have there. It's not that they don't have some talent and they don't have bodies there.
I haven't seen
it. That we have no idea what they're going to look like because they haven't played. Think about all those linebackers that we kept saying, we need to see more of these guys in the game so they can be ready. The defensive linemen. They've lost a lot of the defensive linemen from last year. A couple linebackers. They were playing Jet Johnson and Buki Watson like almost every play during the game. And now you're sitting there going, I just don't know what the linebackers are going to look like or the defensive line. It's hard to know. It's hard to – they could be good. I'm not going to make a prediction that this defense is going to stink. And apparently, from the people that we talked to that are at practice, the defense has looked really good mm-hmm. and has held their own against this offense. And there's going to be some bumps in the road early against the offense, but so far the defense has looked pretty good. It's just those guys just don't have a lot of reps. And it's the same thing for the offensive line. Even the guys that are veterans that they brought in, they haven't played here or on this level. You know, Ethan Miner played at North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
With Colin Pounders, we think he's going to be good. He played at Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jack Martinez gives you some of that. And Martinez is like the X factor. Didn't play much at LSU, Marlon Martinez, but certainly had the recruiting profile and looks the part. So, but he's got the most SEC experience of any of these guys.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I don't know where he fits. I don't know if he's going to be pushing for starting reps. I don't know if he's going to be a swing guy, which is kind of what he was at LSU. He was kind of like their sixth man, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
He's multiple. He can play different positions. He could be an interesting piece. So, I don't know. I think the offensive line is going to be fine. I think it's going to be a good group. It's just right. Finding the five guys to get in there. And, you know, Cannon Boone, I think, is a player that can play guard or center. He can do multiple things for you, and I think he's going to factor into things this year. I think Grant Jackson's kind of made his way up the totem pole, so to speak, and he should help a little bit this year as well. So you have pieces there. And you have guys that have been waiting their turn. And we'll see what they're able to do this year under Cody Kennedy. But I really like Cody Kennedy. I like this group. I think they're going to be able to do some good things.
What do we – what's the way I'm trying to put this? What does this offensive line give Mississippi State in terms of, you know, what are they going to be asked to do? Because I don't feel like this is an, you know, when we go back to the word balance, this isn't going to be a 50-50 kind of offense. But one of the things that we talk about all the time, especially we talked about it a ton when Levy was at Ole Miss, is that there's this perception that this is this high-flying passing offense. But in reality, it's an offense that's kind of based in the run game. They led the conference in rushing both years he was at Ole Miss. And you know, they ran the ball effectively at Oklahoma these past 2 years. So I feel like they're going to need to run block. They're going to need to be able to pass block. But do you think they have the grounding right now? Because last year it was obviously too big of a change, and it didn't work. Is the change too big again, or is this going to a unit that can come together quickly? Or is the fact that none of these guys, you know, they're all sort of starting at the same place because none of these guys have played in this offense before?
Yeah. Well, I think what you're going to see is the offense is going to be so spread out. You're not going to deal with something like you did last year and even, you know, in the air raid where the defense is either dropping a bunch of guys or stacking the box or whatever. I think you're going to have a lot of one-on-one opportunities for the offensive line, and they're not going to be as stressed as they would in a normal offense like they did last year. When you're having to protect the quarterback and you drop back and you have everybody stacked in the box to stop the run, things like that. I think this offense is an offense that makes defenses really uncomfortable. It keeps them on their toes. You can do different things in this offense to make sure that the defense can't really nail down and game plan to stop whatever you do well. Mm-hmm. If you can't do something well, you should be able to do something else. And that's kind of the goal of any offense, really, is to make sure that a defense cannot just completely shut you out. So that's what I think what you're going to see is the offensive line. I don't think is going to be super stressed up there. They're going to need to be able to protect, and they're going to need to be able to open up some holes for the running game. But I think just the whole nature of the scheme is going to allow them to be a little more comfortable where they are. But they're going to need to be multiple, too. They're going to be able to pull their guards. They're going to be able to be really good in pass pro. I think that it's an offense that I think should be relatively offensive line friendly and hide even a few deficiencies as well.
And then another name to watch, I guess, is SMU offensive tackle Marcus Bryant, who was a all AAC first team selection over at SMU and has got an official visit to Mississippi State lined up. I'm trying to find when that visit is. I saw it the other day on the Twitter. But regardless, it shows you they're just not quite ready. To say, hey, this is our group and we're ready. They're going to continue to look to upgrade that group, even though, you know, we talked about the running backs, and yeah, they're going to definitely try to upgrade there. It feels like you've got enough guys on this offensive line, but if you can add talent, you certainly should do that. Give me your best guess of what the starting offensive line is for this team when we get to August.
I still have a hard time believing McCollum Pounders won't eventually take over that left tackle spot. So I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to move into that position and take over that spot. So I'll say he's starting at left tackle. I think Jacoby Jackson's your left guard. I think Ethan Miner is your center. And on the right side, a few different options there. Leon Bell has been really impressive from what I've been told. Mm-hmm. If you're going with your five most talented guys, your five best guys, I might consider even putting Albert Reese at right guard or even right tackle, one of the two. I think he's going to start at one of three positions, guard, right tackle, or left tackle. It's really hard to imagine he's not going to be in there. And then I think Leon Bell is probably going to be your right tackle, just purely a guess there.
That's kind of along the lines I was thinking. I think Marlon Martinez can be in the mix, maybe on the right side of that offensive line. But Bell's a guy that last year in the limited time you got to see him, you saw a lot of flashes for him that he thought that's a guy who can who can come in and help you. So I think, yeah, he plays a big role. And we've just kind of been waiting on Reese these past couple of years, right? We've been waiting on him to finally step up and show off the potential that we all thought he's had. So we'll see if this is the year where he can do that. It feels like State's got a lot of good options on the offensive line. They look like they're going to continue to try to add to it. And in this offense, you know, again, I keep going back, you know, Ole Miss, their offensive line in 2020, I mean, it was okay. It was just okay. And they still were able to, you know, do enough to be as good offensively as they were. So I'm interested to see where this all goes for Mississippi State. We'll flip it over on Thursday, and we'll look at the defensive line. Now, there's a group that has a lot of questions and doesn't have the same amount of transfer success, shall we say, that the offense has had. So we'll talk about them on Thursday. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out anytime soon, if you're going to be behind the grill this weekend, make sure that beef is on the menu. Nobody is going to be unhappy, Robbie, when you tell them, hey, we're having beef for dinner, because it's good. It's delicious. It's good for you. And everybody wants to eat it. Nobody at the cookout is mad when you put a steak down. I promise you that. If you're looking for recipes for tailgating, if you're looking for recipes for weeknight meals, anything, and if you just want to find out more about our beef industry here in the state of Mississippi and what all great stuff it does, it's all available to you at the website, msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. We talk about it all the time. If you're going to be in Starkville, you've got to make a trip to Brothers to grab a prime rib sandwich, some pork rind nachos, some smoked wings, whatever it is on the menu. They've got something for everybody. Great food, great people, and a great location. With the weather, when the weather's nice, there's no better place in Starkville to sit there on the patio at Two Brothers and enjoy yourself and enjoy a great time. It's smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. If you need a new copier or a new printer in your business, if you need any kind of new technology, they can get you set up with some of the best name brands and great pricing. But where they really shine is that service after the sale. Machines break. Breaking news there. So when something goes wrong and you want to have it taken care of quickly, would you rather call a 1-800 number and be put on hold for 30, 40 minutes, and then they'll connect you to an out-of-state technician who 7 to 10 days later he shows up? Or would you rather just call a 601 number and get somebody on the phone immediately, and chances are they might even be there that afternoon to take care of you? Feels like an easy choice. The number is 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're headed to Starkville anytime soon, if you are in need of new MSU gear, it's available to you right there at Maroon & Co. You head over there, you are going to be a happy camper, because you're going to get a great new-looking MSU polo, pullover, T-shirt, baseball cap. They've got them all there. They've got great, unique brands you can't get anywhere else. The logos that you want with the interlocking, with the state script, with the M over S. And it's all right there for you. Of course, if you want to get the Bulldog Initiative gear that the coaches are wearing, it's there. You can't get it anywhere other than Maroon & Co. Before you head to Duty Noble this spring, make sure you also head to Maroon & Co. A quick question. Are you under an alien attack?
The eclipse is happening right now.
Oh, okay. Do you need to go outside and have a gander?
No, I mean, it's just weird. It's really dark.
You keep looking all around like I expect the gun.
Well, I was trying to figure out, is it just weather coming in or is it the eclipse? Because it is much darker than usual. I mean, I'm like, obviously we don't see these kind of eclipses very often. I think it's been like, what, 20-something years or something?
Like that, yeah.
So it's just weird. It's like a phenomenon. Kind of. I wish I would have got one of those glasses.
Oh, well.
We had to sign a consent form for my kid, which I get it, but we had to sign a consent form for my kid to be able to look at the eclipse today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good for her.
But it's literally happening as we talk. And Becky told me earlier, it's like it's going to be 1:30. Mm-hmm. And it is 1:30 on the dot.
She knew.
And it's getting really dark outside.
Well,
there you go. I'm just a little fidgety.
I say you are. You are a little fidgety. All right. So I decided to take a look at the SEC standings to see where Mississippi State is at this point in the season. And I was pleasantly surprised to see where they are. So without knowing who, you know, who, because you've got two 11-1 teams and two 8-4 teams. I don't know who the one seeds would be and the two. I don't know how that would seed out, right? But your top,
you got a long way to go.
Your top four and your the teams that would get byes into Hoover are Kentucky and Arkansas. They're both 11-1. Texas A&M and Vanderbilt are both 8-4. Tennessee would be in fifth. They're the only 7-5 team in the conference. And then at 6-6, you have a three-way tie between South Carolina, Florida, and Mississippi State. Mississippi State's already lost 2 out of 3 to Florida, so they would have a tiebreaker with them. The Gators and Gamecocks have not played to this point, I don't believe.
No, I don't think they have.
So State, basically what I'm saying is, when you look at Hoover, State is at best in sixth right now and at worst in eighth. So comfortably in. Comfortably in. Then if you want to play out the rest of it, you know, you've got the East there. Georgia is at 5-7. They would be in ninth. Missouri and Alabama are tied, so they would be in 10th and 11th. And then
what is Alabama's record now?
They're 4-8 in the conference.
So they're kind of coming back down to earth.
Well, they're 22-10 overall. That probably tells you other thing you need to know about their non-conference schedule.
Yeah.
So let me make sure I had it right. Kentucky and Arkansas are, let's say, 1-2. Vandy and Texas A&M are 3-4. Tennessee, 5. South Carolina, Florida, and State are 6, 7, 8. Not necessarily in that order. Georgia is 9th. Missouri and Alabama are 10th and 11th. And then as it sits today, I guess, LSU is in 12th. They would get into Hoover. The two teams that would miss would be Ole Miss and Auburn.
And they should have they should win some games down the stretch with their, but I don't know. I mean,
well, all three of those bottom schools there, LSU, Ole Miss, and Auburn, still have to play each other.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to get some wins there. This weekend, obviously, Mississippi State goes to Ole Miss. Auburn is hosting Kentucky this weekend. So that is that's a rough one for the
Butch versus Minge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. I'm sure they've played each other before, but – and then –
you think about this. There are four former Cohen people
mm-hmm.
that are coaching in this league now.
Mm-hmm.
Butch Thompson, Nick Mangione, head coaches. Mm-hmm. Will Coggin, who's the hitting coach at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Amirati, who is a fast-rising coach. Mm-hmm. He's at Kentucky.
Right.
He replaced Wasn't Coggin.
Was he at Southern?
He was at Southern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very well respected, up and coming guy.
Mm-hmm.
The fingerprints
we can,
from John Cohen is
we
all
can make fun
over.
Of John Cohen, the athletic director, all we want. John Cohen, the baseball coach, knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing. He knew how to hire.
So LSU, they are at Tennessee this weekend. So all three of those bottom teams are likely to lose their series. Honestly, you should be looking at this on Monday of next week and seeing LSU probably 4-11. Ole Miss, we'll say 4-11, maybe they can get one, and then Auburn 3-12. At 3-12, I mean, you still have to play LSU and Ole Miss, so maybe you can get some wins there. But I don't know if Auburn plays Missouri. They play Alabama, who's 4-8. It's tough.
I mean, LSU is. I still think they're probably going to have a better season than what Ole Miss and State did after their national championships. We've talked about that whole deal a lot, but I still think they're going to have a better record, but they're still very likely going to have a losing record in conference play.
Mm-hmm.
And could be in trouble making the tournament. That to me is just, I knew they were going to take a step down after what they lost. You don't lose two generational guys like they did and just keep it rolling. That's a difficult thing to replace. But it's just crazy. I can't explain the phenomenon.
Yeah. So I wonder if it's going to be a two-year deal with them too, because it has been for Ole Miss, and it certainly was for State. I mean, and State, as good as they're playing at this point, they're not out of the woods yet, right? They still have to win. They have to continue winning games. Now, the good news is these next two series for them, they played two of they play the two teams that, as we sit here today, would miss Hoover. So they should be able to win those series. One's on the road, but it's in a place where you haven't dropped a series your last three trips up there, and then you get Auburn at home. So pretty good spot for Mississippi State right now. So, I mean, I don't know how the tiebreakers work. I assume they probably couldn't be better than seventh, right? I'm making that assumption because they can't be above Florida. So if Florida was sixth, they could be seven, and then Kentucky or South Carolina would be eighth.
I hate how divisions still exist.
Yeah, I won't have that problem.
It's completely, to me, it's just completely stupid. Seed everybody 1 through 14, 1 through 12, whatever. What are they doing this year? They're doing next year's everybody makes it.
Next year, it's all 16 teams make it, which is going to be really weird. And
it's single elimination, I think.
Yeah. So it has to be. Otherwise, we'd be playing baseball into the College World Series trying to get rid of teams. So
six-pack is 21 years old.
Today, as we sit here on the 8th of April, 2024, it has been 21 years since SixPacksPeak.com got started.
That's insane.
Long time ago, my friend. I was there, Robbie. I was there 21 years ago.
Thank Gene Swindoll every day.
I mean, literally created his own competition.
Created like three message boards.
Yeah. So it was good times. Still my all-time favorite six-pack moment is Ryan Nelson pretending to be a high school football coach so that we could confirm that Jimbo Fisher was at LSU and not in Thornton.
That's journalism right there,
brother. That's real journalism. Who else is doing that? I submit that no one is.
That's correct.
That's a good one. Six-pack breaking the Trent Lott retirement news. Jack at Schultz. Yes. Breaking that news before. I mean, CNN didn't have that news. The six-pack had it. Six-pack breaking all of the new MSU logos. I remember at the time we were like, wow, that banner M looks a lot better. You know, these are cool logos.
Just like we were excited about Sylvester Croom's tenure.
Yeah, for about 15 minutes we were.
The two-lane game was great.
It was great. The words.
Got free t-shirts.
The words, we are back, might have been said at the two-lane game by Brian.
Went like 21-6 or something.
Yeah. The words, we are back, might have been said by.
We're back, baby. Everybody's high-five in the stands.
And even the next week when they got crushed by Auburn, it was like, Auburn's really good. They'll be fine. And then Maine. So,
remember the Maine.
A lot of great times on six-pack. Been a lot of fun through the years for sure. For show. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. We will be all over that. Get your questions in. We'll be happy to answer them. I've got two of our three previews lined up. I still haven't gotten up with our Missouri guy. Hopefully he'll get back with me a little later today, and we can have that preview as well. And we'll do another positional breakdown this week. We've got plenty of baseball to talk about, and I expect basketball news to continue to filter in. Well, as Chris Jans will, I assume, at some point make a statement saying he's going to stay with Mississippi State and is locked in there or whatever. And then, you know, portal news will continue, or the opposite will happen at some point. I don't know. We'll find out. All right, guys.
We're going to have a wedding or a hanging.
Either way
it's going to be a lot of fun, time. Huh?
Huh?
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Guys, have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.